Barris Offy? More like Barris Ani. Welcome, everybody, to the Resistance broadcast. We're going to get that caliber of humor and more because you're here on TRB with us. So thank you so much for joining us. It's TRB Live. We're back. Took a week off. Had to take care of some business. Today, I'm John James and Lacey here with me.
You're John James and Lacey?
John James Lacey. Was it? Who was it who said Josh Robert Thompson said we sound like a serial killer? Yeah.
Yeah.
So the other day, I'm at my desk doing the day job, and I hear the sound in my woods, and I watch a whole tree just fall from my woods right into my yard. And I was thinking, like, if I was mowing my lawn, I could be dead, you know? But I wasn't, thankfully. So I'm here. I'm alive. Not a force ghost. Not an apparition. Not in the world between worlds. I'm not hanging with Barris Offy. I don't know what I'm doing. But I do know that today, I bought a chainsaw immediately. Had it delivered to my house. Never used the chainsaw really before.
Do you ever leave your house? You have everything delivered to your house.
Well, this is the way I figure it. Am I in the middle of a workday going to go to Home Depot and I have the guy talk to me about it? No, you need this kind of chainsaw. No, if you're a real man, you get this kind of chainsaw. I'm like, nah, I'm going to get the Ryobi 16-inch chainsaw, $180. They deliver it. I fire it up. I cut up a whole tree, throw those things in the woods. Jacked fish, ready to go.
Was it fun?
What's that?
Was it fun to chop it up?
I almost died. I'll be honest with you. Not from the chainsaw either. I was so gassed and cooked. Like, I was sweating. It was like manning a chainsaw, like you have to hold on tight and you do all stuff.
Yeah, you have to push.
I was toast. What, James?
You have to push. Like, you have a lot of pressure on. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of pulling, a lot of pushing. I have all my limbs, so we're good there. The tree, though, can't say the same. But anyway.
My dad is constantly doing that.
What?
You don't have a fire pit?
I have a fireplace. But
not an outdoor thing?
I asked Kathleen, I'm like, you think that wood's any good? She's like, nah, it's probably rotted. And I was just like, all right. So I made this little curb on the edge of my woods now of the fallen tree. So rest in peace, forest tree. Thank you for everything. Lacey, what do you say about your dad? Your dad has a chainsaw?
I was saying he does this stuff all the time. I don't know how he does it. He's like constantly chopping wood, and he has a log splitter, and he's like building a house for his wood now, like at his house. He has like a separate shack.
Maybe your dad's just in better shape than me. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I'm going to go to the doctor immediately. I was like, I was screaming to my family. I'm like, I need water. I was like James Franco in the movie where he gets his arm caught in the canyon. I was like, I need water.
Except yours is like 4 hours.
Yeah, it was. So I tweeted the results because, you know, you got to brag about stuff you do in life. So I tweeted the before and after. But here we are to talk Star Wars. We're not here to talk about my arborist ways. And we are going to talk a lot about this dark side stuff. A lot of new Acolyte stuff. This show that did not get leaked, this Tales of the Empire thing. We're going to talk about that trailer. But to start things off, Daisy Ridley once again saying she would, quote, would love her new Star Wars movie to include Jedi Finn with the return of John Boyega. So I just want to get your guys' quick thoughts on that. I know that's probably something we expect her to say, but the fact that it's getting close to script being done time and she's vocally saying that. Any thoughts on that?
Never before has so much been written about so little of a statement. I heard the whole thing and I was like, oh my gosh, so much of this is filler. When you really get down to like everything that had happened in that, it was, do you think Finn could become a Jedi in the movie? And she says, that's above my pay grade. I would love to see that, but it's not a decision for me. It's like 9 pages on that back and forth. But I mean, I don't know. She's asked the question and she does answer it in a positive way We talked about the other question about having kids, and she immediately said no. She sort of says yes to this. Let the speculation begin. I don't know. I assume that's where they're going to go, though. If he's in the movie, there's no way he's spending the movie being
general. Yeah.
I know, yeah. But I'm saying if he's in the movie, there's no way he's spending the movie just being a general and like making a cameo. I don't know. What do you think, Lacey?
I do think it was one of the big fumbles of the sequel trilogy was Finn and John Boyega's character, just because all the marketing was like, look at this guy with the lightsaber. And then they're like, kidding, he's a garbage man. And then they're like, no, kidding again. He actually has force powers and he's being trained by Rey in the Lego movie. So I think it's kind of all over the place. I do feel bad for Daisy Ridley because for the rest of her life, no matter what she does, she's going to be asked about Star Wars. Now, I know she has a Star Wars movie coming out, but yeah, no matter what, she's going to be asked about that. And she's just going to have to play the game of like, I don't know, it's above my pay grade. I don't know. I'm not the decision maker. I don't know. I haven't read anything. I don't know.
Right.
But I hope it happens. I love John Boyega. I met him once. He's very nice. And I wish him nothing but success, just like I wish the same for Daisy and anybody else in Star Wars, but especially John and Daisy. I feel like they had obviously a lot of success with the sequel trilogy, but they also had a lot of craziness with the online community. So I really hope they get their kind of a little bit of a redemption, like a Hayden Christensen moment where they get to enjoy themselves in a different way than they did coming into it as such young actors, like getting their first kind of taste of the spotlight.
Yeah.
I know John's doing like really awesome movies now that are all like critically acclaimed, and he's killing it. And like Daisy's now getting her attention with the movie she's done in the past year. So they're already talking about she might be nominated for an Oscar for the for the one where she swims across the English Sound or the English Channel. I forget what it's called. I think it's like Girl in the Sea or something like that. It's done by Disney. One of Disney's production companies, but they're saying like she's on the short list for Oscars next year.
Is it out?
It's not out yet.
Out? Okay, it's so out it's yet. Sort of like
Young Woman. Young Woman and the Sea.
Young Woman.
Arriving in theaters May 31st.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, they put out a list, I think 2 weeks ago, of like the short list for this coming year, and she was on it. So I wish her nothing but the best. I feel sorry for her because, you know, if she does get this kind of praise and is on the Oscar campaign trail, it's going to be like, so how's that Star Wars movies going? She's going to be like, I'm actually up for an Oscar. Can we please?
You know, I didn't hear that about the acclaim stuff, but I think that's a good thing for her future with Star Wars because she's able to fulfill the artistic stuff if she's getting that recognition. And make Star Wars still feel okay to be doing, which I like. Yeah. I think, side note, I want to give my thoughts on the Daisy Ridley thing. I think Lady Gaga is going to win an Oscar for that Joker movie. And I don't even know what's in it. I know it's going to be musical.
You tweet that.
Because he won the Oscar for the first one. And she's already been nominated for some Oscars with some stuff. And it's like a movie where she plays a crazy person who can sing. It's like the perfect role for her. I bet she's going to win an Oscar, Lady Gaga. And she's going to say...
Another one?
Yeah, for an acting Oscar.
I would say nominated, but not win.
Well, we'll see what happens. But the Daisy Ridley thing, I think it's already locked in because I think she would be very careful to stoke those flames if he wasn't in the mix. Yeah. And if the script's almost done and the story's obviously already established, he has to be involved unless it's going to be a part they just wedge in there somewhere. So no,
those conversations have already happened.
Yeah. So I think he's already back and somehow they got the lid on it and it's ready to roll. And she's doing the whole like, oh, I would love it. You know, that'd be great. You know, it's like when Ewan McGregor was like, no one asked me, I would come back. No one asked me. Meanwhile, he's like, he's just like, I want to be Obi-Wan forever. Like, he's just crazy about it. But all right, cool on that. So we'll see what happens. Hopefully we get some news on that movie this summer, though it's going to be a dark side summer, clearly. And we'll get to that in just a minute. But for anyone interested, we are doing Ask the Resistance later in the show. So if you have a question, Star Wars question, you want us to answer on the show, just pop it in the live chat. Use hashtag Ask the Resistance. We'll get to as many as we can. And of course, super chats. If you want to light speed to the front of the row, or if it's not even a question, you just want it on the show, pop over a super chat and we'll get to those. And then last but not least, for other questions, we have our live Q&A on Patreon right after this show where you can ask us anything. And I'm saying anything. And we've told some stories on these Q&As for sure. So if you are a patron, head over there and join us after the show for always a good time, our monthly Q&As. All right. Enough of that. I guess we can start off with a super chat, which it looks like came in before we head to James.
All right. Awesome. So we have a super chat from nerdy_Seb. What up, nerdy hey. Seb? Thanks for the super chat. And they said, hey, guys, hope all is good. And then he did like one of these like, whoa, hand gestures for the audio people. I don't know what whoa means, but
yeah, I was going to say he did one of these. It's like they can't see it. The thumb said, and the pinky wavy thing.
Yeah.
The phone. Yeah. I'm on the phone thing. If you grew up in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Keep up the good work, he says. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. That's so kind
of you.
Thank you. But yeah.
Thank you.
All
right. So yeah, get those questions in the chat. We'll get to those later. But first, it's time to talk about all this news and footage and trailers and stuff. So let's send it to James for Resistance Report.
It's the Resistance.
So we didn't actually do a show last week, so we are very behind. We're 2 weeks behind on the Bad Batch, but then on top of that, they decided to put out two episodes yesterday, basically. So we are looking at episodes 9, 10, and 11 quickly before we move on to some of the stories. This is new Star Wars content that has come out. We got some major appearances, returns of characters, some of the darkest Star Wars we've seen in a long time, and some failures, you know, and some, you know, setups for the end of this season, the end of the series. John, what are your thoughts on episodes 9 through 11?
Yeah, tough watches, and not from a quality standpoint. I think the show is really good, and I like the direction that Star Wars Animation's heading in from a quality standpoint. But the Asajj Ventress thing was cool. I'm not the biggest Asajj Ventress fan, so I know people like went bananas, and I'm happy that they got that, even though I guess some people were upset because they thought she died in a book they read, and that gets a little muddy. I know that. And then they say something like, we'll explain later how she came back. It's like, so in other words, you're not sure yet. You got to figure that out, and you will do that later. But so that was cool.
Somehow.
The 10th episode really like upset me. And I was 5 minutes in whenever they started doing the tests on the kids and stuff. I almost had to shut it off because I was thinking about my kids and how the fact that these kids were pulled from their families.
And they show it. They like, yeah, literally show
and
going into the house, knocking somebody out and taking the baby,
taking the kids, the kid trying to escape and saying, I just want to go home. Like that stuff is that was harder to watch than Anakin walking into the room of the younglings, in my opinion. Because we didn't see what Anakin did. Of course, we know what he did, but there was a few times in that episode, I almost had to shut off, and I'm sitting there thinking to myself, cause I remember a month or so ago, I was like, oh, Johnny was like watching the Bad Batch and he seems to be into it. And I love that I can use animation to maybe get him into it, which he's starting to really get into Star Wars now, which is awesome on his own. I haven't pushed it on him, but I was just almost laughed to myself. Cause I'm like, a Star Wars animated show is too much for me. I'm like, that's just crazy. So I did soldier through it, and it was very compelling stuff because you do need to remind people that the Empire is how evil it is.
Right.
Because we do the whole, let's see the Empire's point of view stuff sometimes, which we'll get to. But and then you know, episode 11, you know, Omega then gets, you know, brought into the mix there, which ultimately made me feel a little better because I'm like, they're going to end this where she gets them all out of there. And it's going to be that whole, you know, escape from Toontown thing at the end of Roger Rabbit, where everyone gets all the kids get out and they get to go home or free or whatever they do, become Jedi, who knows. But so I still think Bad Batch will have a happy ending, but man, that was really tough to watch.
Yeah, honestly, like, I mean, my thoughts are in the Bad Batch reaction show. If you guys want to go check that out, we'll talk about this. You echoed a lot of the things I said. I was like, I don't think some of this stuff they could put in the Disney Plus shows. I don't think they could put some of this stuff in the movies, because I think too many family, it'd be too big of an audience to go into the movie and being like, what is going on in like Star Wars family friendly? I took my kids to go see this movie and like, this stuff's messed up. And it's weird to say that, like, where do we put the messed up stuff? Well, let's put it in the Disney animated.
I was not expecting that. Yeah.
Yeah. But I also wanted to mention too, my thoughts on Asajj. I think she's in this upcoming thing. I think she's in Tales of the Empire. And so my thoughts on it were that all of the process of building in the Bad Batch was just working in conjunction with Tales of the Empire. So they're like, okay, we're going to show this first, but we're clearly going back to, you know, stuff that happened on Dathomir with Morgan Elsbeth and stuff. So I think the witches and all this, like how things can happen there, I think that story is also there too. They just didn't show it in the trailer. Mm-hmm. And I think that whoever is working, focused on this character is adding to both stories. So I think the answer of like, we're going to flesh that out in content in the future is more of like, we can't say it yet, but just hold on just like another week and you'll probably figure it out.
Let Dave cook.
I think that's where it's going. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, go check out Bad Batch Reaction Show if you guys want to add more to that conversation and hear what I had to say.
Lacey, you didn't watch them, right? The Bad Batch episodes?
I didn't, but I know what goes on. Like, I read the reviews and stuff.
And you had asked me, you're like, how bad was it?
Well, between this thing being like, I would shut it off. And I was like, whoa, okay.
Yeah, I want to hear your thoughts. I just didn't think you were watching them. So
I watched clips of it and I watched, you know, I read reviews and whatnot of the episode. I think that it's an interesting path we're going down with Star Wars, because it seems like the past few things have been very dark. Like, there's not a lot of hope in them, which I think it's necessary to have because it shows how evil the Empire really is. Like, I think they really want to force that to fans to be like, I know you like to play like, yay, bad guys, but like, these people were actually terrible. This is how they got into power. These are the terrible things they did. And this is how Palpatine came back. I think that everything's kind of playing into that storyline where many of us, including myself and the Rise of Skywalker, were like, what? How? But now it seems like all these different shows and stuff are backtracking that, being like, this is how it happened. You know, I long for happier shows. I'm not going to lie. Like, I couldn't watch a show where children get tortured and tested on and stuff. It's not my cup of tea.
You would have shut it off. You would have shut it off.
Yeah.
Totally would have. Yeah. Totally would have. I'm more on like the Mandalorian fun stuff, or like what's about to come with Skeleton Crew. I'm definitely intrigued with the Acolyte, and I'm interested to see where they go with that, because it is more on the darker side. But yeah, I don't know, the whole like kids and animals, like, I'm sorry, I just don't think it's necessary. Like, and I don't think it's necessary to show that stuff. Like, you can hint at it without showing it, which oftentimes is scarier than actually showing it. That is my critique. I think that if you're making these shows for kids that are 10 to 12, which is what George Lucas always intended, I think it's a little much to show kids getting tortured or tested on.
I'm curious, honestly, if they look at their demographics and they're like, our biggest audience is not kids. The people that are watching the Bad Batch might be like people over 25, you know, and they're like,
it needs to be a warning though, because people do let their kids watch it.
I was thinking of Andor, and I'm like, if all of the, was it Narkina? Is that the name of the prison, or did I just make that up?
Well, how about Bix being tortured by kids being slaughtered?
Yeah, no, yeah.
That scene was the roughest scene I've ever watched. in Star Wars. I literally cried.
Yeah. It was terrible. I was thinking, if like we felt so bad for all the prisoners in Andor, imagine if they were children. That's basically what the Bad Batch is doing. Right. So
I don't know how George would feel about that. I'm going to be honest. I don't know if he would be on that side.
I mean, people will point to the Anakin and younglings scene, but
not to pull that card. But then the younglings thing he did to show how terrible Anakin is, but they didn't show it. They're letting you think about what happened. They didn't show you what happened.
Yeah,
I think some of this stuff, like as far as like the Empire, you know, it was kidnapping kids and other things like that. I think some of this dark side stuff was happening even back in Clone Wars. I definitely know they showed something similar to this in Rebels. I don't think it was as, you know, we knew what was going on, but I didn't think they like necessarily showed it. They just had kids. But yeah, regardless, I'm definitely on team. There are no teams like, oh, I'm team Rebels and I'm team Empire. Like I love the Empire and the dark side. They're cooler and stuff. And I'm like, no, I've never bought into that with Star Wars so much. I've always wanted it to be a story of good guys versus bad guys.
Yeah.
And I think it is nice and sort of necessary to remind us that you shouldn't be on that side. You know, it's not like a, which side is cooler, choose a team.
Yeah.
But really truthfully, a story of evil and how good can overcome it.
And the way I think the Bad Batch, by the way, Cad Bane, if you want to like hate him more, like watch the Bad Batch, these episodes, because he's basically just the one bringing the kids in for money. But this show, I think, is being served to help the sequel trilogy narrative of Palpatine, obviously, with the M counts. Yeah, they don't say midichlorians anymore. It's now M count. You can't say.
Well, they actually did say midichlorians.
Did they? I must have skipped.
They say Asajj M count
more than anything.
Yeah. They do, absolutely. Yeah. But in the Asajj episode, and I made that like part of my like short, I was like, I can't believe they said it. They said midichlorians in this episode. And so it was interesting to actually hear him acknowledge that and talk about that. We obviously have been stepping around it for a long time. We all know what is going on here, but it was nice to actually, and a little refreshing to actually hear the word in a new property.
And the same way to segue this, I think Tales of the Empire is being used to help boost the story of the Ahsoka series and that sort of stuff. So,
yeah. So let's, let's talk about Tales of the Empire because today there was a new trailer that was released as well as a poster. So we got a poster here, Tales of the Empire. This new show that is going to sort of mirror Tales of the Jedi. We got that show following two characters, two stories, three shorts each. And this was going to do the same thing, but on the dark side, we have one story following Barriss Offee.
Barriss Offee?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I sometimes say the name wrong. Barriss Offee. And Morgan Elsbeth is the other story, and involving, you know, the Inquisitor program, involving Thrawn. Very cool and interesting thing that got me immediately excited. Answers to questions that I've wanted for a very long time, and answers to questions that I didn't know I wanted until I saw it with, like, you know, oh, how did Morgan Elsbeth fight off General Grievous? How did Morgan Elsbeth meet with Thrawn and become part of his crew? You know, I mean, just really cool stuff. Right off, Lacey, what are your thoughts on the poster? And after we talk about the poster for a second, we can talk a little bit more about the trailer and let it kind of play through. But what are your thoughts on the poster?
It looks cool. I like, obviously, it's doing the Empire symbol. That's cool. I have to laugh because all these posters start to look the same with the heads, the floating heads, all these like collection of characters. I think it's cool. I thought the trailer was great. It was really exciting. I was pumped to see Morgan Elsbeth. I've always wanted to know more about her from the moment she stepped on the screen in The Mandalorian and was fighting Ahsoka. You're like, oh my gosh, who is this that Ahsoka's hunting this person down? And then everything that she was capable of in the Ahsoka series. And, you know, the three of us were asking the questions of like, how did she get involved with Thrawn? Like, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. So I'm super pumped about that. I'm pumped that people are getting their Barriss content. I saw so many people that were like, finally, Barriss. Yeah. And I was like, okay, cool. I didn't know this was such a fan favorite character until now.
I didn't either. Yeah.
But I'm pumped for people because that's, you know, for me, the joy of the Star Wars fandom is that you could have a character pop up into a trailer or a show like this. And like all these people are like, my favorite character. And you're like, I had no idea. And it's like doing a natural poll on the internet to see like who likes who. Mm-hmm. So that's really exciting. I think it's gonna be great, and I love they're keeping with this dark side theme. Obviously, they're doing like the Imperial March to the May 4th and whatever. I'm excited. I think it's gonna be good. I'm excited to watch it.
John, I'll go ahead and pull up the trailer. Do you have any quick thoughts on the poster right there?
It's fine. Like do they sell these? Like, are we? They call them posters.
I think you can trade in points, like a Disney points program. I forget what it is. It's like but you can get posters that way, or they give them out at like screenings and.
Yeah, I mean, I did the whole like, let me get all the movies, but now it's like, if you want all the Star Wars stuff, you need more wall. Like, people need to invest in more walls.
Buying houses.
I have posters that I haven't even put up yet, but this. It's fine. The trailer is what impressed me more. Unless you have comments on the poster, James, but
yeah, not really. It looks great. Everybody's there.
So to me, the Morgan Elsbeth thing is the more interesting because we're just right out of Ahsoka. Clearly, there's a lot of just from the trailer itself, like you were saying, James. You know, connecting dots of how who met who. And that sort of stuff. Surprising cameos for sure. Like the Grievous thing, like really confused me. I was like, "Is that him? Oh, it is him."
So we never saw it, but he is the reason he destroys Dathomir. He single-handedly goes to Dathomir and genocides all of them. Mm-hmm. So I don't think we've ever seen it in canon, even like book or comic or anything like that. But it was like legend stuff, and we know that it happened in canon, but. Now it's like they're going to show it firsthand. And that's pretty crazy.
And and Jason Isaac is back doing the voice of the Inquisitor. I wasn't sure if they were going to divert back to, was it Rupert Friend who played him in Obi-Wan?
Right. Yeah. Because it's like an animated thing. So they bring
the voice back. Also, shout out to Stephen Stanton. It was good to see him back as Tarkin in Bad Batch. I forgot to mention that. Love Steven.
Stephen Stanton.
So this did interest me quite a bit. And I know Dave Filoni was the creator of Tales of the Jedi. Did it say he's also the creator of this one? Because this just makes a lot of sense because Ahsoka's his baby. A lot of at least the Morgan Elsbeth stuff is going to help fill the gaps and add layers to the story of our understanding with Morgan Elsbeth and Ahsoka and the witches and all that stuff. So, and the Vader thing obviously is pretty cool to cap it off. So I'm not the biggest, you know, Barriss Offee fan, and I understand that story and, you know, what she did to Ahsoka and all that stuff. I just wonder if it's another one of those, you know, long game redemption things that they're working on with her. But overall, visually and everything, I really thought it felt pretty cinematic for an animated trailer, and they seem to really keep improving the quality of their animated programs. Even the fire looks like it's real fire. It's just like they've come a real long way since season one of Rebels, even. If you want to go, you can even go further back to, you know, the early Clone Wars stuff. It's cool.
I think one of the things is like, I don't know so much that people love the character of Barriss so much as it is like, we saw the last thing, you know, about her being against the Jedi and plotting to kill some people and stuff and get locked away. And then we later, like years later after Disney buys it,
we find out more about the Inquisitor program, and just like the questions start coming together, like, oh, so she's an Inquisitor, right? And then how long, it's been like a decade since Disney has introduced the Inquisitors. True. And this question has never been answered. And every single time there's like a new Inquisitor with a mask on or something, or some mystery thing, it's always like, I bet they're finally going to answer that question, and it never is answered. So today, to get the trailer, and someone's like, no, we're legitimately going to tell you that story. And yes, the answer is she is an Inquisitor. You see it in the trailer. We're very much leading that way. And to piece her up with other ones too. You know, I don't know exactly where it is in this, but you do get to see, like either, it's kind of hard to tell, either the eighth brother from Rebels or Marok from,
I Ahsoka. Thought it was Marok too.
Yeah, it could be, also right there actually. There, mm-hmm. So, you know, and this is the fourth sister, I think, from Obi-Wan. So you're seeing sort of Obi-Wan, Ahsoka, and Tales of the Jedi, the unnamed Inquisitor that Ahsoka was fighting. And it right. just feels like it's one of these things, like it's really cool to see a bunch of these different shows all sort of come together. Obviously, we're going to get Vader. That's cool. I wonder what the voice is going to be like there.
It's clever that it says, yeah, go ahead.
Jedi and then burns into Empire.
Yeah, no, I think it's cool that it says, fear, anger, suffering, and then it shows the logo. But yeah, the logo reveal at the end is really well done, where it burns into Empire from the Tales of the Jedi. It's just Star Wars better than any other like fandom kind of franchise will always give both sides of the argument. They do a really good job being like, hey, you know this side? Here's the other side. Hey, this mm-hmm. side? Here's that other side.
Yeah.
It is kind of cool, like, you know, I think we've for years been sort of in that weird state where we're saying like, you know, we always hear the story from the good guy's point of view. It would be cool if they did a movie or perspective on the bad guys. And we sort of got that. But they always did this thing where they sort of gave, they've like redeemed the bad guys in a way, like you could almost sort of see it from their point of view. And not that Star Wars doesn't do that, but I do like it when they do just show like stuff like what we talked about in the Bad Batch, and hopefully this Tales of the Empire. No, they just come in and kill everybody. Like, there's not really like a great redemption to that. Like, I don't think very many people ever see Darth Vader's side of the story. You know, it's just he's bad, you know, Palpatine's side of the story, or even Snoke. Like, yeah, we can explore his history and how he got there, but I don't think most people feel bad for Snoke. I think the only one that is close to that is probably Kylo Ren, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, of course. And
yeah, but that's part of the story too.
What's funny about this too is like it comes out, and one of our listeners like tagged us. So that's how I first saw it. Mickey, he tagged us and he's like, TRB, check this out. I was like, oh my God, what is this? So I watch it. And it says, you know, Tales of the Empire, and I'm watching it. And I'm like, all right, so this is about Morgan Elsbeth and Barriss Offee. So like, I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, all right, so we got Tales of the Jedi, and it was Ahsoka, and it was Dooku. I'm like, solid. And so if they had told us next year we're coming out with Tales of the Empire, zero people are guessing that the two characters they're going to talk about are Morgan Elsbeth and Barriss Offee. Mm-hmm. And nobody, like, I don't think anybody's really complained about it because it looks so interesting. And there's mm-hmm. going to be way more characters involved. It's not this, like, it doesn't appear to, like, it's going to be this fully linear story. There's going to be a lot of connectivity, which I think helps it. And, of course, getting Vader in there. You got to get Vader in there. And I'm sure Palpatine will pop up at some point, too, in these things. Yeah. So, yeah, overall cool stuff.
If it is Marok, that does sort of give us, I wonder how many ways these two stories could cross paths. Like, for instance, if it is Marok, then maybe that character meeting Morgan Elsbeth at a specific time and then, you know, working together. And then when he eventually dies in the series or something like that, we know that Morgan brought him back to life. For what reason, why that character, you know, was a character that was working with her in the past or in the future, you know? So I don't know. It's all kind of interesting how those stories could intertwine as well. And you're right about no one could have predicted this, but also I predicted Barisafi for Tales of the Jedi. I was like, that's the character I would
to see. Yeah.
An early version of her. And then like middle, like right, maybe when she's thrown in prison and what she's going through, maybe possibly being brought into the Inquisitor program. And then like a third story where it's like maybe how she dies or maybe like years later after, you know, she's been an Inquisitor for a long time or something, what happens to her sort of thing. But I would not, I assumed that's a Jedi story and it's not, it's going to be an Empire story, which is great. I think that's awesome. But also moving forward, let's talk about Empire, right? Before we do though, do we have a super chat?
Yeah, let's check those out.
We do have a couple super chats. Thank you for bringing that up. So first we have Jim Corbett. Thank you so much, Jim, for the super chat. Hey. He said, first TRB live, but can't stay. Thanks for everything.
So he's probably not even here right now. Jim.
Oh, yeah. But thank you so much. That's so kind of you. We really appreciate it. Shout out to you and your fam. Hope everything's well. Thanks, and then we also have David Ford has a super chat. Thank you, David. And David said, Brian Smith docked you $4 for missing two shows. So hopefully this makes up for it. Welcome back.
There you go.
Thank you, David.
I'm sorry, Brian and David, that we missed four shows, but we are back.
Ever see Brian at like a celebration be like, so who am I talking to right now? Is it David? Is it Brian? Thanks, buddy.
Yeah, is that it?
Yep.
On the super chats? Cool. All right. Well, like I said before, we just got done talking about Tales of the Empire, but now we're going to talk about Empire, and that is Empire Magazine, because as you know, they usually get some type of exclusive when it comes to the big new thing that's coming out, whether it's a movie or a TV show, something, you know, Star Wars related. And in this case, The Acolyte is on the way. So we got two covers, as well as a few stories and probably more in the future as they sort of gather a lot of information and roll it out. It's usually how these companies do. They'll just release bits and pieces for articles. But I can go ahead and pull up the posters that we got, or the covers, I mean. One featuring multiple Jedi and one dark side user, which is May. And then we also have another that is a little bit different, dark red and black with some stars, and an interesting artistic look on May versus Master Indara. So anything before we get into the details of the articles, what are your guys' thoughts on the posters, Lacey? Or I keep saying posters because we just did the Tales thing. These are the covers. Mm-hmm. Yeah, the public cover and the subscriber cover.
The covers are cool. So we have the Jonas on the cover. Loving that. His Halnaka character. Love Jonas. Love that for him, as they say.
They do say that.
No, it's definitely cool. I think the hood on May is a little awkward. It looks like they just layered her in there. But that's fine. I prefer actually the galactic refraction of a force fight between May and Master Indara, illustrated exclusively by Nada Maktari. It's so cool. I just love how it's got that like really futuristic sci-fi look to it. But I'm noticing that they're really loving the circles in this show. They got the circle behind them on the main cover, and then also the circle in the kind of more graphic cover with the Empire specific background that everybody knows, the little like long kind of sprinkles. This is what I call them, like this shape. But yeah, no, they're really cool. I'm loving the dark side feel. I can't wait to see more, but I think my favorite part is Kelnaka, Jonas having his moment with a lightsaber, which he told us that he'd love to be a Jedi at some point, and it's happened.
He did tell us that. Yeah.
Very exciting. I kind of looked at that subscriber cover and it looks a little bit like a six. And I was like, I wonder if that's like intentional. And then I was like, well, it is the sixth live action TV series they've done, which is kind of interesting. But John, what are your thoughts on these two covers?
I just love always being reminded that they're making another Spinal Tap. I'm very excited about it.
I'm not getting this joke.
On the cover, so it's Spinal Tap 2.
Does it?
Yes. Oh. I'm a big fan of the movie Spinal Tap.
So like you're literally describing the cover. I thought you were making some
The boys
joke.
Are back. No, they're back. Yeah.
Mubby. So,
yeah. None Blacker. If you want to be Dark Side, what album cover is None Blacker? And our amps go to 11. No, but my excitement almost went to 11 while reading these interviews. That's you know, the Daphne Keene one, and you know, I remember her as the little kid in Logan, which was like 7 or 8 years ago now. But she's
Don't
grown
you feel
up.
Old?
Yeah, she's grown up now, and she is playing the Padawan for Jedi Master Soul, but a very pure Padawan by the sounds of it. Now, this is a mystery show, so there can be misdirection and twists and turns, I'm sure. But the way that she explained it to me fortifies her as certainly a good character that looks at him pretty much the opposite way in which Anakin looked at Obi-Wan, where she's like, no, he's the master and I'm going to follow his lead. And she looks at him in a very admiring, and she even said sweet sort of way. So that was really cool. And I'm excited to see her because she was such a great little fighter as a little kid. So I can only imagine what she can do now as a grown woman. I'm very excited to see her in action there. And how they explained how that character was developed. So I thought that was cool. The covers are fine. I don't buy magazines anymore, so they are what they are. I'm just glad. And someone who brought this up, Kyle Baker, tweeted about this. He's like,
wow,
they didn't do the hello there, but here we are. And I'm like, that's a great point. They didn't do some sort of.
I think they got a lot of flack for that.
They didn't need to do it. They didn't need to do it. So they're just like, boom, here you go.
As long as they didn't say the force is strong with this new magazine cover.
Or, yeah, or imagine they tease it with like a, I know what I have to do, or like a Ben Solo line that has nothing to do with this. People would have lost their mind.
Yeah.
If I was the editor at Empire, I would have done that probably. Troll the fans a little bit. But, the covers are cool. I agree with Lacey. Very happy for Jonas. And sometimes I keep forgetting that Carrie Ann Moss is in the show. They have a really solid cast, and I'm just excited that we don't know too much about it. But overall, good stuff.
And Jung Jae. Yeah.
He's got the Obi-Wan pose going on.
Yeah, he does. Yeah,
he
a little
does.
Bit of that,
yeah.
That stance. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, what's kind of funny, it looks like Indira in that... Indira? In that pose is almost sort of the other Obi-Wan. Like he does like this one and then changes it.
And you know, like I wonder in Rebels. If there's just poses that they run through. They're like, can you do the
and
this?
Then there's this
can
one.
Can you do the this?
Yeah.
Can you do
yeah,
the
Tel Naka's doing the Qui-Gon. Yeah.
Yeah. It's all three of his like he changes it and then he changes it to the defense or whatever. Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, that is pretty cool.
I might be wrong. But But yeah, that's interesting. So, Lacey, any thoughts on, as we get into the article specifically, we got an interview with Daphne Keene. John mentioned a lot about how he's excited to see this character and how we got it. But any thoughts on, you know, a lot of this was had to do with the makeup, which I thought was like interesting, but not particularly interesting for me. What did you think of the article and the interview?
Yeah, it was cool. I was actually more pumped for Leslie Headland's interview. Not that I don't appreciate makeup and appreciate Daphne Keene. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I feel like I would do better as a visual person with a video about the makeup instead of someone telling me about the makeup. Like, I want to see the process. I want to see the person doing their art. I want to see her sitting in the chair while they talk through how they do it. So I'm really hoping that eventually they go into behind the scenes, because it's one thing to say like, oh, this is the process that you do. But when you're actually sitting there and they're showing you how they do it, it's just so much cooler. So I really hope they go into that. Daphne Keene's great. She said a lot at Celebration. I feel like they're just kind of reiterating things at this point. I don't know if I learned anything new necessarily, but Leslie Headland, every time she gives an interview, she gives a little something else. And she talked about, you know, she brought up her quote from a couple weeks ago in another interview where she said, you know, the Acolyte isn't who you think it is, but then went into even deeper about that, which I loved, where she talked about it's actually from the EU. I took it from the EU and I brought it back into this. And she's like, you know, I'm an EU fan and I love the Clone Wars. And I just liked hearing her process of how, and Amanda said this too, everything you think you know going into this, you don't know. And they made it that way, which I like. I don't want to be able to guess things. I don't want to be like, oh, I know where this is going. I want it to be a complete mystery. And they keep selling it as a mystery. That is the literal word they've been using nonstop to describe the show. And I couldn't be more hyped for that aspect of it's a mystery. I hope we're all watching this going, what? What? And at the end, we're like, oh my God, they actually did that. Like, that's what I look forward to.
What I can say about that, Lacey, is that John and I both have watched Russian Doll. And that is a very, like, I have no idea where this is going or where this is going to end.
I started that, but I couldn't get into it. I know Matt tried to watch through it, and I think he got halfway and was like, I have no idea what's going on.
I liked the first season, but the second season was not great. And I feel like that was probably like, I have this pitch for an idea, and they're like, yeah, now do it again. And she's like, okay.
I only had one season in me.
I didn't really think that far, but we can maybe do some cool stuff here or there. That's how I kind of felt that was. So I'm glad. I mean, I hope that Acolyte is ongoing. You know, they do, because it doesn't seem like it's being like limited series, you know, with this one season is it. It seems like it's something that could move forward.
She said she had ideas for multiple seasons, you know.
Yeah. So that's cool.
If I was a showrunner, I would say that too. But
you know. Right. John, any thoughts here on what Leslie Headland had to say?
Yeah, I think it's just more expanding upon the crypticness of what this is all about and what it could mean. I do like that she sort of forthright came out and, first of all, gave a little bit of a, you know, nod to the EU. So hopefully that made, you know, impassioned fans of that happier. But the fact that, yeah, like Lacey was touching on, you know, the Acolyte is a follower of an apprentice. So now we're taking it down another step. And whether they literally transfer what that means from the EU, I don't know. Sometimes they just borrow a name of something and completely change it up. So we'll see. But I, you know, I can't help but think that there's not going to be some level of ties to whether it's Darth Plagueis or his master that we talked about on a recent episode of the podcast. Tenebris, I think his name is. Darth Tenebris. Is canonically the master of Darth Plagueis. So what if it's Darth Plagueis is the apprentice and the Acolyte is the follower of Plagueis, and he's not even called Darth Plagueis yet because he hasn't been Darthed. Maybe he's true. Tom Riddle. We don't know
exactly,
but I like what they're bringing to the table with this. And I also agree with what you guys are saying about how they are giving us just enough to get us excited, and enough to keep us satisfied too. They're the perfect balance of how they're approaching this. And also they kicked off the marketing way earlier than they normally do with these shows, which is usually like 3 weeks away. Here comes the first trailer for Andor.
Coming tomorrow.
Yeah, exactly. So all good things. I'm excited for the show, and I feel like the lack of what we know and maybe the subdued hype that this show has been really under the radar of Mando and Ahsoka and all these other things is only going to help it as we head into it. So
yeah,
all good things for me.
Quickly before I give my final thoughts on this Acolyte stuff, I do want to mention that we are right about to head into Ask the Resistance. So now is a great time. If you have one question, if anything we just said made you think of something, pop it in the chat, hashtag Ask the Resistance, and we'll probably get to it here in a minute. But the last thing I want to say is, I do really like that she talked about the, like, what is that title, the Acolyte, and that it's going to be somebody who's trying to get into that title, into that position. But what was interesting to me was that when I was reading that, she mentions that she pulled it from EU, and I was like, oh, weird. I mean, I don't know EU that well, but when I think of a position as you just described it, I actually think of and she's returning again, Asajj Ventress, because we absolutely had Palpatine, and then we had the apprentice, Dooku, right under, and only two there are. So Dooku is Sith, Palpatine is Sith. So what does it mean that Asajj Ventress was under Dooku, like apprenticing under Dooku? She's never been considered a Sith, but she mm-hmm. absolutely has been considered a pupil of some type to Dooku.
That's, well, and leave it to the Sith to probably break rules, but I think right. the way it works is like there's always two Sith, and there can be other followers and other stuff like that.
That's what I'm saying, is so when it's described in this way, it's like we actually pulled this from EU, and I'm like, oh, it feels yeah. like you pulled it from Clone Wars, like the George mm-hmm. stuff. Like he was the one that sort of said, you know, well, there are only two, and at this time Dooku is definitely a Sith and he's under the apprenticeship of Palpatine. But then I'm introducing this character Asajj Ventress into the mix, and how she comes into it. She's definitely under Dooku and he's being taught, and they have their whole thing back and forth. But I don't think the term acolyte was ever used then, but it's interesting because it's sort of like that is what we're describing here. It's sort of like someone who's under the apprentice of the master. So I just thought it was all kind of interesting, especially since we talked about Asajj being in Bad Batch, Asajj being in Tales of the Empire, and then sort of in a weird way, like this title that she never really had might be yet again explored in The Acolyte. It might actually be sort of connected to that lore in that way. Mm-hmm. Anything else you guys got?
No, I'm just excited for the show.
Yeah, I'm good on it. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, then that wraps up Resistance Report for this week. And let's head into Ask the Resistance.
I've been wondering, what are midichlorians?
I've been wondering, what are M's?
What's an M count?
Yeah. Let's, Lacey, let's get to these super chats first, and then we'll get to some of the other questions.
Sounds good. First up, we have John Mitchell. Thank you so much for the super chat. And he said, I think Filoni's film will be episode 6.5 in spirit. I'd be okay with that.
Could be.
I'd be all right with that.
Interesting.
Thank you
so much. The Mando movie could potentially be too.
Yeah. Next up is John Pedro. Thank you so much for the super chat. Said, with all the details that have come out about Acolyte, there has been almost no details on Dean Charles Chapman's character. That has me intrigued. You know what? He kept coming up in our last live show. I agree. When the trailer dropped, the teaser trailer for this show dropped, we didn't see him anywhere, but he was at Celebration. Don't you guys remember we had a little chat about that? Like, where is he?
Yeah, that's true.
And why bring him to Celebration if you know you're not going to include him in the marketing and the trailer and everything like that?
Right.
So it is interesting. I wonder if it's like cut character.
It might have been cut. I don't. He's listed on IMDb.
And I know Wikipedia isn't, you know, StarWars.com, but they have the full cast with the names of the characters and the explanations. And for him, it's just his name. So
interesting. They don't have him in the data bank, right?
No.
No.
He's 26. He's white and he's British. So I'm leaning evil for Star Wars. Right. But
you never know.
We'll see. It is interesting. Yeah. Thanks, John.
And then last but not least, we have Diamond Figs. What up, man? How's it going?
Hey,
man. He said the lady with the blue saber in Tales of the Empire has to be Luminara, right? Right? He did in caps. I don't know. I would assume, but I don't know.
Maybe.
Had a little drama. Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people speculating on who that person could be. And the most common one I see is it looks like Ahsoka. And I'm like, I don't know. I think it's probably just going to be a new character that they're throwing in there.
Interesting.
But it might be.
Interesting.
Yeah. I got a
reminder it. Luminara being Barriss's master before
master.
Turning.
Yeah. All right, let us go to Nerdy Seb. Let's do the first one. Do you think that Disney will announce any more Disney Plus shows after they're done with all the upcoming shows, or do you think they're done? Would love to see more stuff. Man, this is a tough one. Lacey, what do you think? Do you think they're hitting pause on the live action Disney Plus shows? Do you think they're done? What do you think?
I don't think they're done, but I think they're done doing multiple a year. I think they're going to tone it down with those and put more of their energy into movies like we've discussed previously. But I do think they'll probably do two a year, one in each half, because they can't just stop doing Disney Plus. Like, they're not going to drop that completely. They want to keep driving subscribers. But yeah, I think they're going to slow down, like Bob Iger's been saying, like other people have been saying, of putting out so much content all the time.
Yeah. Interesting. We have a bunch of questions, so why don't we each just try to tackle, like, we'll have one person tackle them.
Go for it.
Yeah. James, I'm going to sling this one over at you from the Ginger Jedi. You did touch on this a bit. With the announcement of the Tales of the Empire, do you think an animated series featuring Asajj, Omega, Quinlan Vos, and The Path is likely?
Oh, gosh. You know, I think where this starts to come up is people talking about how they're going to answer the Asajj questions. And I heard a lot of people using the term backdoor pilot, and how, like, Asajj Ventress showing up at the Bad Batch really wasn't necessary. It probably could have been so many other characters, if not just a new character, answering these questions. Why bring back Asajj if you're not planning to use her in the rest of this series? Which we don't know where they're going. You know, they, you know, we still got multiple episodes to go. But do I think that bringing in Asajj is just a way for them to be like, okay, she's back, and then when we actually get the announcement, it starts to make sense of why Asajj and Omega would be together? Yeah, you know, I'll go off that. I'll say that sounds good. I would like to maybe move away from this era when it comes to animation. We got, you know, Resistance. Well, we got Rebels, then we got Resistance, and it was like two completely different eras. And then we did the last season of Clone Wars, which moved immediately into Bad Batch. And then now to move immediately into this other story with Omega and, you know, still in this era. And, you know, it feels a little strange, but at the same time, I don't think they're killing off Omega. I don't think that Asajj is just in the Bad Batch just to be in the Bad Batch. And I don't think that Quinlan Vos is still alive and showing up on these reports of who are the Jedi who are not, we weren't able to find them after Order 66, and still never really quite answer that question. I think it's very possible that all of this stuff could be connected. And yeah, I'll say for now, yeah, sure. Next animated series.
All right. On record. all right. Let's go to Matt Lawless. And Matt asked, what language will the Wookiee Jedi and Acolytes speak? I mean, I would imagine Shriwook. Are we going to break the mold here? Does Bur Yaga speak like basic that I don't know of or something? Do we have a Wookiee talking English?
I don't know. Yes. There is a High Republic. Is the one High Republic Jedi, not this new one, but the other one from the books, did it not occasionally speak English words?
Bur Yaga?
Yeah.
But here's the thing then. That either means wrong Chewie, on that. That either means Chewie is an idiot or he refuses to speak English because he understands.
I would imagine he would be very prideful and refused. Yeah.
So,
I mean, I don't know that it's refused as so much as, like, I don't refuse to learn Chinese, right?
Yeah, but
I just
if
don't.
You knew Chinese and you were talking to someone who was Chinese or native Chinese. Yeah.
I guess that is fair. I am communicating with a Chinese person on a regular basis, so.
Yeah. All right, let's hop to Frank Grande, who said, if they do another Tales animated show, what do you think it would be Tales of? So Tales of Jedi, he's saying another topic, Tales of Jedi, Tales of the Empire, Tales of, I would like them to do Tales of Pod Racers. I think that'd be really cool.
Tales of Droids.
Tales of Droids.
Droid Tales, still coming. Still
people are waiting.
Tales of Creatures. That's what I want.
Tales of the Bounty Hunter.
I think those all sound good. They could probably, I'm sure there's a whiteboard with all that on there.
Yeah.
Tales mm-hmm. of, now your Tales of Creature show, is it just about the creature's tails? Is it T-A-I-L-S?
No, John. All right. No.
All right. Well, we can move on then. Okay. Let's go to John Mitchell, who said, will you be going to see episode one in theaters? And also, yeah, they're doing that Acolyte special preview after it. I'm taking Johnny. It's going to be his first Star Wars movie in theaters. We hope
that's so exciting.
He can sit. We have aisle seats that are near where we would have to leave to go to the bathroom, so we're good there. Mm-hmm. You guys going? You guys seeing Phantom Menace?
I'm not. Yes.
James,
yep,
yes.
I already have my tickets. Yep.
Nice. Are you taking Bennett?
No, I actually asked him and he was like, no, thanks. Like I showed him the trailer and he's like, oh, that's cool. What's that? And stuff. And I'm like, oh, do you want to go see this movie? And he's like, nah.
He's like, is it on Disney Plus? Fine. I'll stay home. All right. Yeah. So that's two yeses, one no. But yeah, Phantom Menace back in theaters. Mickey Bell up next. And Mickey is asking.
Which one? First one or second one?
We're going to do the second one. He said, it's been a year since I met you guys. Such an amazing moment. Thank you, Mickey. Thanks for being so nice. Thank you for being so nice. What was your favorite memory from last year's celebration? Oh, man.
Last year's? Hanging out with people is always my favorite. Like hanging out in line, hanging out at dinners, hanging out after the show. You know,
Daisy Ridley. Walking onto the stage?
That's different, though. That's a different... I don't know how to explain it. Like, favorite moment of something they announced? Absolutely. I also loved the creatures that they brought out before Daisy Ridley, which was, like, so amazing. But I'm talking, like, favorite kind of moment, as in I'm in it, would be with people.
I like that, yeah. James, did you have a favorite London celebration moment?
That's my first thought, is like there was the one specific hotel that we all just like hung out for hours at and got pizza and stuff. Like, I just think like those moments of being able to sit down with like-minded folk and not just like a friend or coworker that likes Star Wars and you're like having that conversation with them, which is always fun, but it's not like this. It's like, you're just like, oh my gosh, these people all get it. And they were all in the same room as me this morning when we were all, you know, experiencing the craziest thing we've, you know, some of us have ever seen in our lifetime with like the stars of Star Wars, you know, like Jon Favreau and like, you know, Dave Filoni on the stage, Daisy Ridley on the stage. And it's like, mm-hmm. to see that stuff and to see some of these trailers and things, and then just to go and like have these conversations with people, that is the reason you go to Celebration. Absolutely.
Yeah. The cantina for me that last night was great because I felt like it was a great opportunity to see a lot of people I didn't get to see that weekend and hang out with them. But also we were able to get so many of the TRB people in there. And it just felt like one of those moments where you're like, you look around, and you're like, these are my people. And you're like, oh my God. And
until you get COVID.
Like I could have gotten COVID.
I'm just saying, I'm pretty sure we all got COVID from that event.
I could have gotten COVID at Abbey Road.
I can smell the burning again.
Yeah. I honestly, like that cantina night was one of those nights, like I was like, man, I wish that night never ended. That was a really fun time.
It was super fun.
Ash, the band Ash just crushed it. Those guys were great.
So nice.
The whole crew that put it together. So accommodating, so nice. Yeah. And seeing, Mark Newbold and being able to hang with Clayton and people I didn't really get a chance to spend a ton of time with. Yeah.
I always forget how tall
A handful of actual original trilogy actors in the room hanging out.
Exactly. Nuts. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. No. Yeah. Julian Glover just sitting in a booth and you're like, there he is. There's Donovan. There's General Veers right there, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was just a really great night. But hanging out and chopping it up and nerding out with people who understand why you nerd out about the stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's always really cool. All right, let's do the super chats. Looks like we have more super chats chiming in here.
We do. So Diamond Figs is back. Thank you so much. I DM'd y'all a live action Luminara photo that looks exactly the same. Thank you.
Might be on to something, buddy.
We'll have to look at it, ma'am. Thank you so much. So nice of you.
Thanks, buddy.
Next is Mike Lovins. What up, Mike?
Mike.
Thanks for the super chat. He said, as I'm sure y'all know, or he didn't say y'all. I just got into the y'all. No, he does the next thing. Okay. Yeah. As I'm sure you all know, y'all, there you go, are the sexiest Star Wars pundits in the game. It's an honor to watch you each week. Right back at you, Mike.
Oh, Mike.
So kind. Thank you so much.
That's the sexiest super chat ever. Thank you very much, Mike. Appreciate that, buddy.
That is it.
Yeah, I think that is it. We are up on time because we do have to scoot in 5 minutes and I have to go upstairs and go to the bathroom first. We have the Q&A up next on Patreon. So if you're going to join us live in the chat there, you could pop in questions in the live chat. We also have questions that you submitted on Patreon to us and they can be about anything. So if you're not a patron yet, hop over to patreon.com/resistancebroadcast and sign up. Tiers start at $5. And it's a good time for Q&A. So we'll see everyone there in a few minutes. And then we just want to thank everybody for listening and watching and being a part of TRB. Hope you had a good time listening or watching this episode. And make sure you do subscribe to the pod on your favorite podcast app, whether that's Apple, Spotify, what have you. Give us a rating. Shoot us 5 stars. And of course, follow us at TRB Podcasts on social media. And I mentioned Patreon before. We have to give a special shout out to our generals and spice runners over there, which are Generals Carmelo, John Reese, Jetta Rosewater, Frank Grande, Nick Kratz, Chris Morales, Brian Smith. Chris Morales coming up on the pod race on Monday, by the way. Mm-hmm. Brian Smith, Matt Chitty, Danny, Mike Ramori, Brendan McLaughlin, Sneaky Zebra, Colin Cormier, Dave Hornack, and Jolton Jedi DiMaggio, and the spice runners, David Probus, Neil Shaw, Kendall Gellner, Andrew Staley, Jeremy Myers, and the Fort Worthian. For me, Johnny Hoey on social media and my movie podcast, Just Like the Movies, also on audio podcast apps. James, how about you?
For me, social media at Myra Trunks and each week on the Bad Batch Reaction Show.
Yes. Lacey.
People can find me on social media at Lacey Gillerin and on TikTok at It's Lacey Gillerin. And enjoying Star Wars.
All right. So, yeah, patrons, we'll hopefully see you for the Q&A in a bit. It will also be on the page if you can't make it live. Don't worry. And for everyone else, we hope you've been enjoying the show. We hope you have a great weekend. And we'll see you Monday morning with another episode right here on the Resistance Broadcast. See you around, kids.